Accession number 18547, Reel 1.
Sid Hook, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
Tynmouth.
Which year was this?
27th of June 1920.
And did you grow up and have your schooling in Tynmouth?
Yes, yeah, in a council school.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
Did you get a job?
Not straight away. I went fishing. But it was a bad winter and my father put me to a trade boat building.
In Tynmouth?
In Tynmouth, yeah.
Is that what you were doing when war was declared?
Yeah.
Did you?
I hated it in there, so as soon as the war broke out, I shoved off.
In what way did you shove off?
Join the Navy.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
Mm, yeah.
At home?
I was home here then, yeah.
How did you feel when you heard the news?
Well, all I felt was we went and laid all our boats up, because all these boats around here are ours. And we took them up a creek up the river and hid them away.
Did you think there was going to be an attack?
Well, we knew there was going to be a war. And I mean, from the first war to that war was only 18, 19 years, and the likes of my father were still, you know, in their memory.
When was it that you joined the Navy?
Christmas 39.
How did you go about it?
Went to Exeter and joined the patrol service. You couldn't get in here else, but the patrol service was right up my street because it was fishing, you know, trawlers and stuff like that.
Did you have to do some basic training?
No, none of nothing. Went to Lowestoft, 14 of us from Tynmouth that morning. And terrible lodgings, worst lodgings I've had in my life, in Denmark Road in Lowestoft.
What was wrong with them?
Oh, the beds were, no gaps between the beds. They had about 10 beds in the room, and there were fleas in the bed. Really, I mean, I'd been brought up in a decent house since the first time I'd ever seen anything like that. Brady always kept it till it was stale, so she wouldn't eat too much. Not a nice man at all.
Did you have to stay in them long?
No, I was only there about 10 days, and I got a ship.
What ship did you get?
A Stella Capella, she was called.
Stella Capella?
Stella Capella, yeah, name of a star.
Was she a trawler?
Yeah.
From which port?
She was a hull trawler.
Was she HMS?
Oh, yes. She was what they call an Asdic trawler, Ascot trawler.
What kind of crew did that have?
22 hands.
And what was your job aboard?
Oh, I was just a rookie. I was put on the ship had been to Chatham to get fitted with a pom-pom. And I had to wait for her to come into, when the Grimsby, she never come into all, we went to Grimsby and joined her. And I was put on the pom-pom's crew because nobody knew anything about the pom-pom.
Did you?
No, I didn't know anything about pom-pom. I wasn't even strong enough to cock it. You had a cocking handle, you know. And that cartridge case there was the only shot that she fired in Scapa Flow on the 12th of March, 1940. Then the gun jammed.
What were you firing at?
A German, Eichel 111.
Did it do much damage, the aeroplane?
We never. Everybody fired at her. Just as the Norwegian campaign was breaking out.
Were most of the crew from Hull or Grimsby?
Yeah, both from Hull and Grimsby. A Torquay man joined her with me. Called Fred Stone, and I got put ashore in Grimsby to go for an ASDIC course. That's anti, you know, submarine detection course. And I failed the course. They said I couldn't hear good enough. But I don't know. Anyway, they kept me in Grimsby. Then in a spare crew.
So this was after you'd left the Stella Capella?
Yeah.
How did you get on with the Hull and Grimsby men?
All right, I suppose, but they never got on with each other. The Hull and Grimsby men. They used to fight like hell.
You mean it was Hull versus Grimsby? Mm.
Always one had the most fish and biggest trawlers.
What kind of duties was the Stella Capella doing?
We were escort, North Sea escorts. A convoy from someplace north of the Humber to ship Southend. Down inside the banks. Not a very nice job done. Ebold Alley, we used to call it.
Did you get attacked by Ebold?
No. Got attacked. Oh no, I came ashore from her for this ASDIC course, failed it, got put in a spare crew, and then my next job was bomb disposal.
Where did you get trained for bomb disposal?
I just picked it up there with a bomb officer.
Was this with a Navy
part? Oh yeah, yeah. Navy bomb disposal.
Were you working ashore or on ships?
No, on the shore.
So where, did you do any bomb disposal work?
Yeah.
Whereabouts did you do that?
The first one we dug out was down to the seaward side of Cleethorpes. And the bomb was what they used to call those days a radio location tower. And it turned out to be radar. But in those days, they called it radio location. And normally, they would give a bomb $100 after it pitched, before they dig on it, to give the delayed action. But this one was that close to the tower that they didn't care how many diggers went west, as long as they didn't get the radio location go west. So we started on it straight away. Like 19 days we'd dig it out.
So it was a digging job?
Oh yeah, bloody great pits. And we had the bomb officer was good, he was a real good bloke, Scotchman. And after we'd been digging, I don't know, 10, 12 days, we came across a brook, an hidden brook. And in the brook was old gravel. So he said, right, men, you forget this pit now. He said the bomb would go through 100 feet of clay and mud, but he won't go through 1 foot of gravel. So he said, as soon as he touched the gravel, he said, he's gone up there. And we forgot that pit, went up there where he calculated it would be, and that's where it was. We found it there.
What condition was the bomb in?
Oh, beautiful. Just ripped his tail fins off, that's all.
Was it a big one?
1,000 kilo.
And who did the disarming of the bomb?
He did. He sent us all out the pit. And we had a caliper and a compressed air thing that he put it on the fuse and put the caliper over the bomb. And then set this compressed air thing. And then he got out the pit. And the compressed air thing turned the fuse. He blamed all the people that were killed on bomb disposal on a news film of disarming a bomb in London, I think, St. Paul's. And he said, through that, the Germans put all these delayed action things into it. He said, but these 1,000 kilos weren't the worst. The 250 kilo was the worst one for putting the booby traps in.
Why was that?
I suppose that was handier for them.
And the men you were working with on bomb disposal, were they all Royal Navy or Royal Engineers?
All ABs, all ABs, all seamen.
Seems strange that it wasn't the Royal Engineers who were doing it.
Well, we were a naval bomb disposal. There was naval, we went aboard ships as well, ships that had bombs in their cargo and that.
Did you do on-board ship work for
a coal, one load of a coal.
Where was that?
In Immingham.
Where did you find that bomb?
In the coal. Right in the middle of the coal.
But that must have been much easier to find.
It took a lot of finding because it wasn't big lumps of coal, it was all slack coal for a power house.
Any other bomb disposal work that you remember? Any other specific?
Only odd digging jobs, but that's the only one we blew up. We blew up the 1,000 kilo one in a place called Stallingborough Marshes. Took him up in a lorry, you know, these red flags out as they were going along. All the women were cheering, you know.
Did the public give you any treats as you were doing bomb disposal?
Well, no, we were going like hell. Wanted to get there as quick as possible.
But when you were doing the digging, would they?
No, in the area of this radiation tower. And we never had any tin helmets, steel helmets. And the bomb officer said, well, you can't go to blow up this bomb unless you get a steel helmet. But over across the meadow, it's a meadow place, was the naval crew of this tower, this radiolocation tower. And I went in there, just stuck my head in around the corner, and said, has anyone got a steel helmet here they can lend me? And the chief said it would be a good idea if you took off the hat you got on. This was around that, you know. So that's as much thanks I got in there.
Did you enjoy doing the bomb disposal work?
Yeah, I did, because there's 10 blokes who were, just the same as yourself, you know. And we were all in the same billet.
How nervous did you feel doing it?
I never did it. I do now, thinking about it, but I never did then.
Why do you think you didn't then?
I don't know. Never saw any danger in it. Because the bomb officer, he never let you feel. He was really good, and he worked. And I didn't believe him at the time. But he worked for Baird Television before the war. And I'd never even heard of television. But he worked on Baird Television.
Do you remember his name?
No, I don't. I got a photo of him.
Which years were you doing this bomb disposal?
1940.
For about a year?
I shouldn't think it was as long as that, because I went in a ship called the Ross for a bit.
After this?
During that time, I reckon, I don't know. It's a long time ago, you know.
What kind of a ship was the Ross?
She was a fleet sweeper.
HMS Ross?
Mm. Dunkirk, that was Dunkirk time. Yeah.
Did you go across to Dunkirk?
No, we used to sweep up and down for the vessels that was doing it. She was a bit heavy drafted for that job.
What was your other job in the Ross?
There again, I was the 12-pounder forehead on the gun.
Did you fire that gun?
Yeah.
What's that?
We got a Anchor 111.
Did you hit it?
No. He hit us. We were sweeping out of the... I always thought it was a Devonshire, a cruiser, with the King of Norway aboard. King of Norway coming back to this country from Norway. No, Norway had just got packed in, you know. And we were sweeping in this cruiser. A full A sweep, 9 of us. And we were tail ass Charlie on the port side, and this Anchor come over, and the cruiser opened fire on him with his 6-inch. And the Anchor didn't like the look of that, so he had to come around again and had to go at us. We were the last ship in the line. and he straddled us. We had two bombs, one side and one the other. And one of our main engines, she was twin screwed, jumped off the bed. And, we slipped our sweep so we could make more speed. And then when the Eiko went away, we went back to pick up our sweep. And made a right dog's breakfast of it. We led the recovery wire inside of the stanchions. So when we actually clipped onto the Arapiza float, all hell went loose. And we got the wire around our good propeller. So we finished up towing into the Humber.
So this attack was in the North Sea?
Oh yeah, a bit of the outer dowsing light. Light ship.
Which port did you go into in the Humber?
Grimsby, in the Royal Dock, Grimsby. And I got immediately took off her. All the others went down 14 days leave. And I got put back in the spare crew. We were spare crew then. Anybody wanted a spare hand, they said draw one from the spare crew.
What was life like in that ship?
Terrible. The mess deck, I suppose there was about 16 hands in the mess deck. And only room for one man to sling his hammock. We all slept on the deck. Terrible. She was a coal burner as well. And when we were doing the patrol outside of Dunkirk, if you smoked on the upper deck, you'd have got 90 days imprisonment. And she had flames coming out the top of her funnel 15 feet high when she was steaming full speed.
Could you get any sleep aboard the ship?
Oh yeah, when you get tired enough, you'll sleep. When you get hungry enough, you'll eat, because the food aboard was terrible.
What kind of food were you getting?
Oh, nuts and bolts, we used to call it. Mutton stew, with a bit inch of fat on the top. Not very nice ship at all.
Who do you think was responsible for the conditions?
Well, the ships were old and still coal burners, you know, burning coal. We used to coal ship every day. And used to get, well, terrible.
Do you remember any other duties that the ship did? Or any other incidents with it?
She was sweeping in the Humber for ages. Or around the Humber. But I never went aboard her again. I suppose the Humber was the most mined river in the country. So, must have been 50 minesweepers working out of Humber.
So, German planes were laying them out?
Oh, yeah. All air, dropped by aircraft. Well, I was on another ship there called the Chameleon. On that mine spotting patrol, used to go out in the night and tie up to a buoy or let go an anchor and listen and watch all night for try and spot where the mine dropped, and then the sweepers next day would try and get it.
Is this in the Humber as well?
Oh yeah, in the Humber, yeah. Inside the Bull Fort, there's a fort called the Bull Fort.
This was HMS Chameleon, was it?
Well, yeah, she was a taken over by the Navy, but as a fisherman aboard her, the owner was the skipper of her.
Who was the owner?
I think he was called Storr, Stoerr, from Flamborough. Really nice bloke. We used to go fishing, catching cod on the line.
In the Humber estuary?
Yeah, oh yeah, tons of cod there was.
Mm. How did you enjoy being in that ship?
Oh, I loved it, yeah, lovely. Just like being at home, you know. We had a bogey in the forecastle. We used to get lovely and warm in there. and do our own cooking. And always had plenty of grub. Tie up alongside the naffy and always get bacon and legs of pork and things like that.
Did you go ashore in Hull?
Yeah, I done a. After that, I done a refit, you know, in another ship.
What was it like ashore in Hull?
Oh, I got knocked about something awful. Yeah, really badly bombed, though. We got sent there once on bomb disposal. We never got on the bomb. I don't know what happened. Forget now. But we never went and done any digging.
Whereabouts was that?
In Hull.
Whereabouts in Hull?
There was a big garage there. Paragon, is it? Paragon?
The railway station is called Paragon.
Is it? Paragon Square. Something to do with Paragon Square.
The square outside the station is called Paragon Square.
Is it? I don't know. I was there two or three times in billets, you know. Hazel Road.
And that's a fisherman's quarter. In
yeah, Paragon. Real rough part. Yeah.
What else do you remember after the Chameleon?
I don't know, really. That must have been in the spring of 42. And then I see an AFO one day.
What's an AFO?
An Admiralty Fleet Order. They put them on the notice boards, you know. And they all got a number. And there was this AFO asking for people with boat building experience. And to transfer to general service. Because I was in patrol service before that. So I went and took a trade test and transferred to a shipwright.
This is in 42?
42, August 42. I came on 14 days foreign service leave on the day of the Dieppe raid. I think it was the 9th of August. 9th or 19th of August, 1942.
So you started shipwriting work?
Not until I got the ship. We went to... went on this 14 days foreign service leave, then went back to Chatham. And then it must have been... middle of September, I suppose. And then I picked up a draft to ATLCC 10.
ATLC 10.
Yeah, I guess.
What does that mean?
Well, nobody knew at the time.
Tank landing craft.
Yeah, so it turned out to be. And the C10 was stood for Chatham 10. There was 10 of us. 10 ships went from Chatham that. 10 crews went from Chatham. And we all fell in the drill shed on the 5th of October. We didn't know where for. But 10 maintenance parties fell in. And then about midnight they said, go back to your messes, the draft's not going today. So we went back to our messes. And next morning they piped us again, telling us that we were going on draft that day. And which we did. We got on a train in the night. God knows where we went. Because about midday next day we were at crew. Never had nothing to eat. And our crew, they came along the station with a and barrel giving us a pasty each. And away we went again. And we finished up at Gurrock on the Clyde. Raining and blowing a gale of wind it was. The ferry was called King George the Fifth. And going off to the ship. There was a dozen liners at anchor in the Clyde. And I knew every ship in those days. I was dead interested in ships. And I couldn't make out what this three-funneled liner was with this piece out of her bow. I said, well, it looks like the Queen Mary, but it can't be because she's not got a bow like that. But the day before, she'd sunk the Curacao. And that's why our draft was put off 24 hours. But we went aboard her, and it was like paradise aboard her. Because I mean, we then, August 42, it was a real bad time of the war. No grub, no lights. And when we got aboard there, it was white bread, chocolate, tons of light, music. Yeah, and away we went. Had two destroyers and a cruiser as escort. I was blowing a gale of wind. And before we got out of the Minches, the Queen Mary had told the destroyers they could fall out. And we hadn't gone very far until the cruiser was making that heavy weather of it. They told the cruiser he could turn back. And we just carried on escorted from there. 4 days later, we were in Boston, America. Full speed all the way she went. Didn't care about her bow being bashed in. Marvellous ship.
What happened to you at Boston?
We got put in a barracks. 1,000 of us. No, called the Wells Fargo Barracks. But when we got to Boston, the tugs were on strike. And he birthed herself, Queen Mary did, without tugs. And we went in as Wells Fargo Barracks. And right down below us was the dry dock she went in to be repaired. 6 weeks she was in there. And then one morning she'd gone. No, marvelous ship.
What happened to you at Wells Fargo Barracks?
We had a bloke, a captain. I don't know if it was Burgess Watson. It could have been, because he was our flotilla commander afterwards. But anyhow, this day he said that you'll have a making men this afternoon. And I said, oh, well, it's all right then. And he says, you know why, do you? 1,000 of us, all Navy men. Nobody knew why. He said, does anybody know what this day is? The 21st of October. Nobody said yes. He said, right, like making men's cancelled. He said, that's Trafalgar Day. And you should have known. Yeah. Nice town, Boston.
We're 2 days off Trafalgar Day today, as it happens, but carry on.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, coming up, isn't it? 21st. Anyhow, the four of us from our ship, there was a seaman PO, me, a supply rating, and an engine room rating. And we had a fine time in Boston. Used to go to the Union Jack Club. And people used to come in there with British extract, you know, and take us to other houses. We had a fine time there. And then one day we went on draft. And we caught a train from Boston to New York. And New York, we caught a train to